various Bible studies. There's other books to study and other things to grow as we look at God's Word. And then what happens, though, is we have the holidays. I don't know about you, but I get busy during the holidays. Anybody? You know, always something to do. And so it's kind of like we get the groups going, and then, well, we got to take a break because missing and so-and-so's gone. So we thought about moving it to January. And so we talked about it. But then I go to a conference for me, some training. I continue to upgrade my training. I still got a lot to learn. And so I went to some training, and I was given a book that was very meaningful to me. The book made an impact on me as they were passing out the books, and the author was the one doing the class. And it dealt with the Lord's Supper. Now, anybody familiar with the Lord's Supper? Some call it communion, Eucharist. There's all sorts of names for it that they have. It's that cup of wine, or we use grape juice. And I use Welch's grape juice. It doesn't matter what kind of grape juice, but I do use Welch's. I want the good tasting stuff, you know, and the unleavened bread, you know. And so we take the Lord's Supper, and that's a challenge for me as a pastor. Because see, as a pastor, I have a tremendous responsibility. Because there's going to be a day when I stand before God, and I have to answer for everything I've done as a pastor. Not only do I have to answer for being a father, a husband, not only do I have to answer for being Gary, an individual, wherever I'm involved in, but I have to answer for my leadership of a church. And so someday I'm going to stand. And the Lord's Supper has always been a challenge for me. You know, and it goes back to the scripture here. I want you to look at this Hebrews chapter 13. You can get your outline out. It's in your folder. You can kind of follow along there. And there's some blanks to fill out. It says, obey your leaders. Now, I like that part, okay? Obey. You know, I like that. Submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. See, I have a responsibility to watch over the spiritual nature in your life as those who will have to give an account. I have a responsibility that God's going to hold me accountable for someday to answer for it. Let them do this with joy and not groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. I enjoy being a pastor. I like that loud. I'm having fun. I enjoy my fellowship, my relationship with you. I love this church. And you've heard me tell you, and it's not a building, it's you guys. You make it special here. You make it meaningful for me here. But that part that says I'm going to have to give an account. I'm going to have to give an account for my leadership, the decisions I make. Now, some of you have been with me for a long time as of this church. We've had a lot of changes in the 32 years I have been here. Worship, so I preach a lot different than I preached when I first came. Anybody in here? You know, I preach a lot different. Our music is a lot different than it was when I first came. Anybody on board with that one? You know, the business of our church is handled a lot different than it was when I came. I dress a lot different than I did when I came. I used to wear a suit with a tie. Laura said, I got ties hanging in my closet. You know, and I'm going to have to give an account for all of these changes. Tearing a blue building down. I like the old blue church. You know, building this, meeting at a school. I'm going to have to give an explanation. I'm going to be held accountable for it. And then as a pastor, I'm also held accountable for what I preach and what I teach. I'm accountable for all that. And then we come to the Lord's Supper. Now, I enjoy taking the Lord's Supper, and I enjoy that time that we share that meal. But there's a scripture for me as a pastor that's frightening. When it says I'm held accountable, and then I read this over here in 1 Corinthians 11:29. Whoever eats or drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That I'm responsible to lead you down the wrong path as you come to the Lord's table. And so as a pastor, that's frightening to me, that I'm going to have to stand before God and explain my leadership, because I enjoy taking the Lord's Supper. We've only taken it since we built this building 2 years, I think three times, twice maybe. You know, and I wrestle with that because I'm afraid I'll lead somebody down the wrong path. I'm afraid I'll take us down the wrong journey. And so I really wrestle with that, and I really care for that because it's a burden on me. And so, you know, how do I schedule and how do I deal with it? And then I found this book. This author passed out this book, and this book goes, Preparing for the Lord's Supper. It's like, whoa, I like that. I get to spend time taking you through a study that gets us ready to sit at the Lord's table. Because when I usually preach the Lord's service, I always talk about the Lord, what it means and how it is all put together and where it came from, and I lay all that out. But what if I miscommunicate? What if I wasn't clear? And so for me, it's a challenge, and so I've always wrestled with it. See, I've always done it when I came as pastor. I've always done it on significant days. We've done it at Thanksgiving, which is really what I wanted to do now. We're going to do it the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So if you want to mark your calendars, you can mark it now. November 22nd, 10:30, we're going to have a special service. We're going to do the Lord's Supper. We're going to share at the Lord's table. But here's the challenge. Beginning next week, you're going to have 40 days to get ready for it. That's freeing to me. You need to know that. That's freeing to me to set back and say, here it is now. Here's your opportunity to get ready to come to the Lord's table. See, I want you to come and be renewed. I want you to come and be refreshed. I want you to come and be blessed by the presence of God. I want you to experience God when you sit there and you share the Lord's table and you enjoy it. And see, that's my heart and that's what I want. How can I make that happen? And so when I seen this study and I talked to the author and he came here and did a video. We got that. He's the one that brought the movie. For those who got to see the movie War Room in our church, he's the one that brought it. He was the author of that book. And he took Laura and I out for dinner. So we sat around the dinner table and talked to him about how I could use this. And so we're going to do that. We're going to sit around the Lord's table on November 22nd. But I want you guys to spend 40 days getting ready for it. Because when it says, for whoever eats or drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment himself. I want to make sure you're ready for it. That you're going to enjoy it. That it's going to be something meaningful. Here's what I really hope. I remember the day I accepted Jesus Christ. Plain as day. It's burned in my mind. Aunt and uncle's house. My cousin sitting next to me. I remember that day. It's a day that's visual in my mind. I remember the day I was baptized. There was 13 of us that got baptized that day when in that church when I got. It was after a revival. I can remember that day. I remember the room before I wound up the stairs. It was a room where they had all the choir robes. Anybody remember all the choir robes and stuff? It was a room where they had the choir robes and everything. It was a men's dressing room on one side and the ladies on the other. And I remember that day. I remember a day when I parked underneath the Golden Gate Bridge and just spent several hours just talking with God and reading the book of Genesis and thinking about the creation story. You know, and here's a bridge sticking out of the middle, and I'm looking out over the ocean and reading God creating all the fish of the sea, and I'm thinking about all that God did. The clouds blowing across the Golden Gate Bridge, the beauty of all that. I remember that day. And here's what I want. I want us to come on November 22nd, and for that day to be a memorial day for you. That's just burned in your mind. That it's a day that God just touched you in a special way. That's what I want to happen. But for that to happen, I think we're going to have to spend 40 days getting ready. Anybody on board? You know, what do you guys, for that, I think it's going to be for us, you know, let's ready so that when God comes, it's like we know he's there. And when we walk out of that, we're going to go, you know, I'm never going to forget this day. It's just going to be something I remember. And so that's what I'm going to drive at. And that's what I want us to do. So what I want to do this morning is kind of set the stage, kind of give you the background of why we're doing the study. And it's going to be more about me. Just get ready because it's going to be about me and my journey and how I came to this point. And why I make the decisions about my leadership and how I wrestle with things. There's two key passages in the Bible on the Lord's Supper. You know, there's several references in the Gospels where Jesus inaugurated it, but I like Matthew's version the best. And then there's Paul's discussion of a problem church that wasn't handling it right. And so I want us to look at those two key passages this morning and kind of set the stage for the Lord's Supper. If you remember, Jesus had called his disciples, and he had been baptized, born of a virgin, baptized. He'd been out teaching for about 3.5 years. He'd been out teaching and leading. He'd done miracles, you know, the blind could see, the lame could walk. Anybody familiar with all those stories? You can read them in the Bible, you know, all the things that he did. He had did all those things, and now he's nearing the end of his ministry. Think about this. He only ministered and preached for 3.5 years. Think about that. Look at the changes he made in our world in 3.5 years. And so about 3.5 years, he's doing all this, and it's his last journey. He's journeying to Jerusalem. It's his last meal as a human, as a man like you and I. And so they're going to have the Passover. And so they go prepare a room in an upper room, and they prepare this room. They have a dinner. And then Jesus does this. It's here in Matthew 26. Look at your scripture there on your outline. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink it again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." All right. Now, just so you know, I'm going to spend a lot of time on this next week and through the next week. I'm going to give you a lot about this. But just kind of a brief picture of what he's saying here and what's going on here. They had had dinner. Jesus took a cup, some of that unleavened bread. See the Passover. Anybody seen the movie Ten Commandments? Anybody? You like that movie? Anybody? I enjoy. You know? And you see that movie, and well, it was the Passover. God was trying to free the people of Israel from Egypt, and that last plague of the death of the firstborn, they sacrificed that lamb, put the stuff on the doorpost and around the frame of the door, and as a symbol, and the death angel passed over. Well, they were gathering for that recognition. It was a reminder. It was the time for them to remember that event that God had done at the Passover. And so they gathered for that Passover. So Jesus took that occasion for the Passover to initiate the Lord's Supper. Just as he passed over Israel to bring them freedom from Egypt, he passes over us through the blood on the lamb that he sacrificed himself on the cross to pass over our sins. Get the picture? He's painting a picture of that forgiveness that he has for us. And he says, here's this. And so I put it this way. If you got a little, you want some blanks to fill in, it says, it's symbolic but deeply meaningful. It's a symbol. It's a reminder. It's symbolic. It's for us to stop and remember something that happened. I don't know. I need reminders. Anybody? I was thinking about this. I know when my kids' birthdays are. Anybody know when their kids are? I have trouble with one of them. All right? You know? Jennifer's and Laura's is real easy. If I got Laura's, I got Jennifer's. If I got Jennifer's, I got Laura's. It's the same day. You know? Amanda's is 2 days earlier. Amanda's was a scheduled C-section. I asked the doctor, can you do it on the Wednesday? He goes, no, we don't do C-sections on Wednesday. Birthday's all on the same day. It didn't work. Yeah. But then I got Jeremiah. He's the awkward one, all right? I think it's August 27th. You know, my wife's going to come in a minute and let me know if I'm right or not. But I think it's August 27th. Now, my grandkids, I got one out of seven. Because it's the same month mine is. It's November 16th. Jules Renee. I know Jules' birthday. That's the only one I don't know when Amanda. I think Matthew's is in February. I think Amanda's is in May. Samantha. I don't know. Anybody? Reminders. We need. Now, I don't want to embarrass any guys. Now, if you're here and you're married, how many know your anniversary? Don't raise your hand. Yeah. Mine's easy. 6-6-12. See? 6 plus 6. No, I think it's 6-12. I don't remember now. Yeah, 6-12-6. Somewhere in there. Don't we need reminders? Anybody? I remember one day, I'm sitting there typing at the computer, and I wanted some tea, so I go to the kitchen, I put some tea, got the bags in the water, boiling the water. I go set up my computer, and like the phone rings, and somebody calls and says, "Hey, can you come over and do something?" I go, "Well, yeah." So I go. All right. I come home, and my smoke detector's kind of going off. But on the way home, I hear some sirens. And I'm going, oh, I'm glad they're not coming to my house. And I go in the house, and sure enough, I had boiled all the water out, and the pan is set, and there, fortunately, it didn't cause fire, but, you know, the smoke detectors did go off. And sure enough, a few minutes later, here's the fire trucks in front of my house. And Laura hasn't forgot that when I tried to burn the house down, she says. Because I didn't remember. Do we need reminders? Anybody? You know, do we need to remember? You know, it's hard to remember everything. That's why I got a smartphone now. 15 minutes before something happens, my smartphone dings. Ding, ding. Oh, I got a minute. I got a meeting. Okay, I got a birthday. You know? I like Facebook. Anybody do on Facebook? I get a notification. Somebody's birthday, because I'd forget your birthday. Some of you get, I say happy B-Day to you, right? You know? Not because I know your birthday, because you're on Facebook, okay? because I don't remember your birthday. We need reminders. And so God is sitting here, and what the Lord's Supper is, it is a reminder. It's a symbol. Nothing special happens when we take that. It says Jesus prayed over those elements. He prayed over it, and it doesn't become the body of God. It doesn't the blood of Jesus. It is unleavened bread. It is grape juice. It is nothing happens to it. It's a symbol. It paints a picture for us. Jesus is there, right? I mean, is Jesus here this morning? Anybody? Jesus is here, but we can't see him. But when we come to the Lord's table, we sit at the Lord's table, we can't see him, but we have a symbol of his presence, right? See, it's a symbolic picture. The Lord's Supper is that symbolic picture of God and of what he did and what he's going to do and how he lives in our life, that forgiveness of sins, that salvation is secure. See, and that's what the Lord's Supper does. It's this symbolic thing. Every time we come to take it, it's a time for us to come and be renewed and be refreshed and blessed by his presence. It's a time for us to experience God in a new way and to know that he's real and that he's here and that he's done something and that he's not done with us yet. You know, I like that last part of that verse up there when it says he's going to drink it anew with him in heaven. You know, someday we're going to sit at the table of the Lord and Jesus is going to be there in heaven with us. And so he's painting this picture. And so we have this Lord's Supper. You know, it's a time for us to come and to reconnect with God, to maybe look at our commitments, maybe look at our lifestyles, maybe look at our choices. It's a time to come and examine ourselves and to see what God wants to do. See, it's a Lord's Supper. And so it is meaningful. It really is something. I've never said mere symbols, because it's not just a mere symbolic thing. It's something that's very meaningful. Something special about sitting there with others and you take that piece of unleavened bread and you take that grape juice and you share that time with others and you remember what God has done for you, what God wants to do for you, how God works in your life. It's that time for us to be there. You know, I have my salvation. I'm secure in God's hands. I have a future. I have meaning. I have purpose. God is working. And he cares, and he loves, and he paints that picture through the Lord's Supper. All right, so that's the one picture that Jesus has. And just so you know, we're going to spend some time. Next week I'll talk more about it. You're going to do some reading on it, and we're going to have a great time. Kind of give you a hint. We're going to do 40 days of preparation. I'll give you guys a break. You have to do 28 days of that go, okay? The study guide only has 28 days. So you get 40 days of preparation, only 28 days of daily work. So I'll cut you some slack this year. All right, but I want us to prepare for it. But here's what happened. Here, Jesus inaugurates this special event, this significant event, this meaningful event. It's symbolic, but deeply meaningful. And the churches begin to practice this. And then there's a church in Corinth. Jacked up. That has a mess. And so Paul writes this church. Paul's the one who planted that church. Paul's the one who set that church up and organized that church. And so Paul writes that church as he begins to describe what's going on and what's wrong. And here's what he says, if you look at your outline. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks for it, he then said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. See, he's kind of just repeating what Jesus did. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. See, he's describing just what Jesus did to the church. He's saying, now here's what Jesus did, because here was the problem in the church. See, the church was practicing like Jesus did. They were coming together for a big old potluck. Now, I've done that as pastor. We've had a meal and then took at the Lord's Supper. In our old blue church, one time we had a potluck and had the Lord's Supper. And we shared the Lord's Supper just like this. Just sit in circles and sit around with family and in a circle around circle tables over at the school and take the Lord's Supper. You know, I've had a table all set up and I've had an empty chair, you know, where Jesus would have sat that remind us of Jesus. I've done all sorts of, and he's just reminding them, here's what the Lord's Supper's supposed to be. Every time we do the Lord's Supper, this is what I've done. I've always tried to bring us back and remind. I've never tagged the Lord's Supper onto the end of a service and said, okay, I've preached now, let's take the Lord's Supper. I've never done that. Because the Lord's Supper, it's symbolic, but it's very meaningful. And here Paul is describing this for this church. Because here's the problem. They were getting together and having dinner. But some of them were eating everything that was out there, and some that came late didn't get anything. See, if you read the first part of this chapter here on the 11th chapter in Corinthians, there were some problems in the church. There was some disunity. There was some division in the church. There were people that didn't like one another, that people were frustrated. Now, you need to know, I am blessed here. I think you guys like one another, all right? At least it appears to me. You know, at least you endure one another, maybe. I don't know. You know, but they had problems. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been in churches where there were people that didn't like one another. All right? And they're, you know, being a Christian doesn't make you perfect. You know, we still get aggravated with one another. You know, that's why Jesus says, love your enemies. You better not have an enemy in the church, though. But see, that's that challenge. So this church had these issues. So they were coming together. But they weren't coming together for the right reasons. They were pigging out and leaving others out. They were attacking and biting one another, devouring one another. And they were doing all these issues in the church. Now, I'm glad our church doesn't have those issues. You know, I see it. Maybe I'm blind. I don't know. But we have I've been really blessed for 32 years. You need to know, I can tell you, a friend of mine that pastored down just the road down here, he goes on vacation, comes back, and the church had painted over his name on the sign. He was voted out of the church while he was on vacation as pastor. All right? Christians do stupid stuff in the name of God. You know? We're not perfect. All right? And I'm not. I you don't know. Somebody was telling me the other day, I am so just get to be Gary. I'm your pastor, but I'm Gary. You know? I do stupid things. I say stupid things. Somebody was telling me some things the other day. You know what? If I was afraid I was going to say something wrong, I would never preach. Because I guarantee you, I'm going to say something wrong this morning. Maybe more than one thing. I'll do the best I can. That's all I can offer you. Yeah. But see, this church let that eat away at them. I think that's our problem. But I also think we need to look into ourselves. We need to think about us and who we are and where we're at. Not that I'm perfect to sit at the Lord's table, because I'm never going to be perfect. You know me. I'm not perfect, but practically perfect in every way. Me and Mary Poppins, you know, I got to get that picture out. I got that picture at Disney World with me standing with Mary Poppins. Two practically perfect people. That would be good. I'd put a picture of Jesus, the perfect one, Gary and Mary Poppins, practically perfect, and then you guys can be... I shouldn't have said that. I told you I was going to say something wrong. You know, you guys can join me on the practically perfect, okay? You know, because we're all messed up. I don't come to the table because I'm perfect. Yes, there's going to be heartache, and yes, there's going to be pain, and yes, there's going to be issues, and yes, there's going to be sometimes hard feelings, and yes, I can't believe the pastor said that, and I don't believe that, you know, and I don't believe my teacher did this, and I can't, you know, that stuff happens. But you know what? We're family. I hate to tell you something. You know what? I got three kids, and sometimes they tick me off. Anybody on board with that one? I see a lot of hands go up. But you know what? They're still my kids. I still love them. I'd do anything for them. I might want to bust them one first, but I'll do anything for them. I tell my kids all the time, I do not want to be your friend. I want to be your parent. You know? Yeah, amen. You know? So I don't come because I'm perfect, but I need to make sure I'm working on myself. That's the thing. That's what this preparation is. Am I working on me? Am I happy with who I am? Am I happy with my attitude about driving? You need to know. No, I'm not. Especially when you got Christians in your car, you're really nervous. You know? Or you're afraid you're honking your horn and saying, well, they come to church next week. You know? We wrestle with those issues. You know, it's not okay. Well, that's just me. I always read that fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, skip, patience. Let's go to the rest. But I can't. And so when I come to the Lord's table, it's like, slow down, Gary. Slow down. So I put it this way. The Lord's Supper is a joy, but it's serious. It's serious for me. It's important for me. It's significant for me. I'm going to have fun. It's a joy to sit at the Lord's table and experience God and know the price that God paid. I am free. I'm not perfect, but I am free. Does that make sense? Yeah. And there's a joy and there's a celebration. I'm going this way. I'm going to do the best I can. I am heading that way. And there's that joy and that celebration. I am no longer a slave to sin. I battle that. I fight the good fight. I finish the course. You may be familiar with some of those scriptures? There's a joy. But it's serious. It's serious. Look at this next passage. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Now listen to what he says. A man ought to examine himself. Why don't you circle that? Examine himself. Before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. He's saying we need to examine ourselves. Traditionally, when I've did the Lord's Supper, we always pause for 5, maybe 10 minutes after I've preached to give us time to examine our hearts. Then I've had the table here, and you guys would come up and take the food, the juice and the bread back, and we would share it together. I always gave you guys time and wanted you to examine yourself. The difference this year is you're going to get 40 days to do it, all right? I want 40 days of us looking at ourselves. And what's going to be fun is that book has 28 days of things for us to do to help us prepare for the Lord's Supper. And so I'm excited about it because, see, if you don't do it right, this is what frightens me. If I don't lead this right, I'm going to have to stand before God and give an answer. And so I've always prayed. I want to be clear about it. I want to make sure they understand. And some Martha and them, I told her, the wrestling I do on this, because I feel a tremendous responsibility as pastor for you, that I stand before you to lead and to guide, not because I'm perfect, not because I have all the answers, but because I feel God wants me to bring his word to you and bring you closer to God to the best I can. See, that's that challenge for me. And so he set up this, but he tells us to examine ourselves. Let me give you a little bit about me on the Lord's Supper. See, I was raised in a church when I was dragged to church. You guys, some of you know this story. I was dragged to church until I was old enough to tell my mom and dad we didn't want to go anymore. Yeah. Like I said, we'd get up in the morning. My brothers and I, we'd get up, watch Lamb Chop. Anybody remember Lamb Chop? We'd watch Lamb Chop on TV and be real quiet. Mom and dad might not wake up. We won't have to go to church today. Yeah. They woke up. We'd end up going to church. And they took the Lord's Supper every Sunday in that church. If you missed Sunday morning, you could come Sunday night. And we didn't go very often Sunday night, but when we did, I can remember they would take all everybody over to the... If you missed the Lord's Supper this morning, you can go into the side room, and people would all line up and go into the side room over there and take the Lord's Supper. You know, I didn't know what was going on. I had no idea. You know, that was just... They did it every week. And then I joined and got saved. You know, I crossed that invisible line. You guys know the story, right? You know, reached that point in my life where I said, God, I'm tired of doing things, I'm doing yours, my life, and take control. And I crossed that invisible line and started attending this church with my grandparents, my cousins, aunts and uncles, and got involved in the church and had a wonderful pastor, Pastor Arthel Lehman, Brother Lehman we called him, and joined him. He's passed on now. He's up with God right now with his wife and that, and he was a special guy for me. But he practiced what was called closed communion. Now, some of you might have any idea what that is. You know, what in the world are we talking about? Well, back in those days, back there, closed communion meant only those who belonged to that church could take the Lord's Supper. You had to be a church member of that local church. That church. You couldn't be just a Christian. That didn't matter. You had to be a member of that church to take the Lord's Supper. And that's what I learned. That's what I knew. And so I go off to college, taught by him. Laura and I go to church, and we start going to church. They have the Lord's Supper. We didn't take the Lord's Supper. Palm Baptist Church, Riverside, California. We didn't take the Lord's Supper until we joined the church. Because I was, you know, that was my thing. Matter of fact, I wrote a paper on closed communion when I was in college. Why you should practice only church members. Laura went over and got me the paperwork, one of the early founders of Southern Baptist in California. Laura went over to his house and got me a paper on all of that stuff. He had paper they used to pass out to the churches. And that's one thing to do when you're in college, but when you, all of a sudden you're in the ministry and you're out in the church, you know, things change. You know, because I can remember my first church, I practiced closed communion up in Willits, California. But I was up there and I began to realize, you know what? I don't have the corner on heaven. Did you know that? You know, Baptists don't even have the corner on heaven. Did you know that? God's got heaven under his control, not ours. And so while I was up there, I began to realize, you know what? I think any Christian should take the Lord's Supper. So here's to give you an idea. I practice what they call closed communion because you got to be a believer. It's closed. If you're not a believer, you don't get the Lord's, you shouldn't take the Lord's Supper because it doesn't mean anything. You know, it doesn't mean anything. So when I came to the church here, I can remember sitting at Martha's house with Glenn and Yvonne, and I can't remember who's all there, Martha and several others sitting around the table, and they asked me about the Lord's Supper. And I said, I practice believers. And I, from years ago, that's what I told Martha. Any believer, anyone who's crossed that invisible line, anyone that has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and followed him through the waters of baptism, enjoy the Lord's Supper. So I still practice clothes. Open communion is anybody can take it. I think that verse kind of scares me there. And that's what scares me as a pastor. What if I didn't explain it well? I got somebody here who doesn't know God, somebody who doesn't understand, and they share the Lord's Supper, and they didn't get the... I feel I'm responsible because their ignorance is not an excuse for me. And so it was really easy as the church only had Sunday night service. We only did Lord's Supper on Sunday night because who comes Sunday night? Remember those days? Only Christians came Sunday night. Most people didn't come Sunday night. Most even Christians didn't come Sunday night. Yeah. And so that's what we did. I did it on Sunday night. Well, then what happened? We moved to the schools and we're doing all this and we don't have Sunday night service anymore. You know how much I struggled with this? You can talk to Don Lowe and Michael and some others that I sat around and prayed and we prayed and talked about it because I wrestled with this. Because as your pastor, I feel responsible to lead you into God's presence. That something special happens, that God is doing something special in your life. And I don't want anybody making a mistake and I don't want anybody misunderstanding. I don't want anybody to miss the blessing of God. And so I've always taken it very seriously and really closely. And so that's why we don't take it very much. Because I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'll leave somebody wrong. I'm afraid somebody will misunderstand. I'm afraid somebody will miss something. And I don't want to hurt them. I don't want them to miss the blessings of God. I don't want them to miss what God wants to do in their life. And so I've always been real careful. And so when I'm sitting at this table at this conference this last May and the teacher's passing out this book and he's talking about this book, a light just went on. I love it. It'd be a great time for us to spend 40 days approaching God's table. 40 days getting ready to see God and to meet God and to experience God. See, 40 days to remember like our salvation day, like our baptism day, like that day when God did something that we've never experienced before. That's what I want to happen November 22nd. I want you to walk in this place so excited, so renewed, so refreshed that you just feel the power and the blessings of God's presence when you walk through this door on November 22nd. See, that's my prayer. That's what I want to happen through this study. I want it to be something that's just going to mark your mind that you'll look back 20 years later saying, remember when Gary did? He's dead and gone now, but you remember when Gary did? You know, I'll be 80-something then. You know, hopefully I live past 80. You know? But see, that's what I want. I want this to touch your life. That you've reached that point, you know, that God has done something. Because see, I'm not only worried about non-believers, I worry about our self-righteousness. Well, you know what? I'm just as good as. Well, they did it, so I could do it too. I'm going to give you a little hint. Just be some Christians. Well, let me even go further. Some pastors do some things. It's wrong. It's wrong. Okay? Pastors aren't perfect. Just because somebody else does. Well, I'm just as good. I don't care how good I am. I don't measure up to Jesus. Okay? Practically perfect? isn't perfect, is it? No. It's not perfect. Jesus is the only perfect one. And I, you know what they did to him? You know, anybody want to be perfect? Getting crossed alongside Jesus? I don't think so. We need to understand, and that, you know, we need to kind of back up. Where's my relationship with God at right now? That's what I want us to think about this 40 days. You know, if you're here this morning and you've never crossed that invisible line, you know, it's like you're looking at your life and you know there's something missing. You just don't know what it is, and you're just kind of wrestling with life, and you're just kind of chugging along, and it's okay. You know, life's going good, but, you know, you just know there's got to be something more. I'm going to tell you, that something more is Jesus. Did you know that? You know, and that's that invisible line I talk about. You know, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. You know, it's not walking an aisle. It's not getting baptized, you know. I'm going to be good. I'm going to try to be good. I'm going to be the best I can be. It's not going to work. God, I'm tired of doing my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. You cross that invisible line. And then once you cross that line, you struggle. Anybody that's ever told you, you know, being a Christian's easy has lied to you, okay? It's not easy. I'm going to tell you, it's fun. I'm having a good time. But it's not easy. I wouldn't want it any other way. So I just, you know, and so the Lord's Supper is just time for me to come back. Yes, I crossed that line, but how's my life? And so during this 40-day set, I'm going to be challenged. Christian, you need to cross that line. You got 40 days to get ready. Maybe you're not ready to make that decision now, but I want you to pray about it. You know? Where's God in your life? How's that relationship? If you're a Christian, how's that relationship going? You happy? You know, God, I'm happy. Does it mean everything's right? It's like, how many, I could sit down right now, I tell you this all the time, it's, my car's still jacked up, my printer went out, they pulled a tooth, they shot in bone graft, and then I had to have a liquid diet for 4 days this week. Anybody? Anybody want a week like I had? You know, it doesn't mean things, oh boy, I'm a Christian. But you know what? God's on my side. You know, I'm on his team because I know, you know what? I know one thing. I win. I hate losing. You know, second place is first loser, right? Come on. And I'm winning team. Second don't even count. My team. See, I want that to be the joy of being a child of God, that we're going to come to that table and it's going to be something that happens that we just, God, just thank you. God, this is, I'll remember this the rest of my life. That's what I want this to be. But for that to happen, you're going to have to spend some time getting ready. You're going to have to spend some time getting ready. So I just want to challenge you this morning. I wanted to paint a picture for you. I wanted to know what's up. What's up? What's all this about? This is what it's about. It's about examining ourselves. So that we come to the Lord's table. We have been renewed, refreshed, and blessed by his presence. Does that sound okay? Is that like something that you guys want to be a part of? Okay. And that's what I want to challenge. At the bottom of your page, I put it this way. You're invited guests. Come, remember, receive. I found this statement. It's on the back of the book that you're going to get on next Sunday. Do you need a fresh cleansing from sin? Come. Are you weary? Come. Do you want to follow Christ and experience abundant life he came to give? Come. Do you hunger and thirst for more of Christ? Come. The Lord has spiritual food and drink waiting at his table. All are welcome. Come to the table. He will satisfy your soul. I want to invite you to the table of the Lord. We got a few weeks to get ready. I want to challenge you. Are you ready? Do you need to cross that invisible line? Maybe today, maybe over the next few weeks. Think about it. I need to make that decision. If you cross that line, do you need renewal? You need a refreshing? You need to be touched by the presence of God? That can happen. If you open yourself up, and let God move in your midst in the next few weeks. I'm excited about this study. Like I say, you're only going to have 28 days of study, but I'm going to be challenging you 40 days of preparation. 40 days just talking to God and spending time with him. Then 28 days, day 1, 2, 3, 4, get in a small group, get with some other believers, spend some time talking about what you've learned and what you've experienced, and enjoy the blessings of God so that when you come, write this down, November 22nd, when you come, something's going to happen that marks your life that you'll never forget. Just like your baptism. Just like that day when you cross that invisible line, something will happen if you're prepared for it. That's what this is. If we're prepared,
He will open the windows of heaven and pour out his blessings upon us. Let's pray.
Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you for all that you do in our midst and all that you desire to do in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for being a gracious and merciful God to send your Son to die on a cross, to give us a remembrance, a time to pause, give thanks for our salvation, for our forgiveness, for the relationship that we have with you. Lord, I bring these before you, ask you to bless their lives as we look forward to a time when we're going to come and celebrate together. Guide us through this week, Lord. Lead us into your presence in a special way, and be glorified in all we say and do, in Jesus' name. Amen.